Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
It's always important at the beginning of a new year to think about how will this year be different for you. Are there plans that you've made? Are there any resolutions that you've made? Any choices that you've made? Is there anywhere that you would like this year to be different? Or are you just going to kind of let everything happen? Whatever comes to you is whatever's going to happen is going to happen. A study was done several years ago, and if I were going to ask you, what would you think would be the most significant invention of Western culture? Now, you know, it's not the computer. I'll give you that right away. What has changed the way we perceive life more than anything else? A study was done and found that the most significant thing that has changed our lives more than any other invention is the watch, the wristwatch, or just the watch. It redefines for us time. Time has changed for us. We no longer perceive our lives and the time that we have here on planet Earth. It has become increasingly difficult for all of us to see it in a broader perspective. We are dominated by time. To give you some idea of how it has changed, if we had lived maybe 200 years ago, you have gathered here this morning for what purpose? Presumably for worship, to be with God, to have your life lifted a little bit above the normal routine, to experience and to learn and to grow, to mature spiritually and emotionally. Now, if we had lived 200 years ago, a normal worship service in a Wesleyan society would have lasted maybe 3 or 4 hours. So imagine if I said today, well, from now on, for the rest of the year, we've decided to change. And we will start worship at 11 o'clock, and you know we'll probably get done by about 2 or 3 in the afternoon. How would you respond? How do you think most people would respond? Well, after a while, it would be just me here. Okay? Why? Because we have other things to do, other things that we've got to get done. And sometimes we carve out for ourselves an hour of worship. And yet, and I apologize, sometimes I'm known for this, to kind of go a little bit over that hour. And that becomes hugely problematic because we're dominated. Our time is seen radically different. And if we don't understand and put our first things first, what really is truly important, the rest of the year is going to be just a blur. It's going to be like a boat that's on the ocean. It's going to be tossed by whatever chaos comes at you. Until we can get centered and say, this is the most important thing, and I'm going to be diligent about focusing on my priorities, we'll just be tossed to and fro. There's a story about Lewis and Clark. I read this story a couple of weeks ago. Many of you know Lewis and Clark were explorers sent out by Thomas Jefferson to go out and explore the new Louisiana Purchase, the territory. Go out and explore. We just bought this property. Go out and see what we just got. So Lewis and Clark set out, and they came to the Missouri River, and they decided that they were going to split. And they said, we're going to split. You go to the north and you explore that territory. I'll go to the south. And in a couple of weeks, we'll meet at this point and we'll share notes. Okay? They decided on a date that they would meet at this place. So they went out, and it turns out that Lewis arrived there early. He arrived at the time that they had set, and it took another 9 days for Clark to arrive. And in their writings, as they wrote back about their journey, that 9-day window was totally normal. That was acceptable. That was well within what they had expected. They expected. Now think about us. Think about you making plans. I will go on a trip, plus or minus a week or two, right? I'm going to go, I have a dentist appointment. I'll show up in 9 days one way or another, right? We have watches that define clearly what our window is going to be. As a result, it becomes even more important that we decide what's first in our lives. Because if we don't decide it, if we don't become diligent about knowing what it is, even ruthless about saying, this is what's important to me, your watch will begin to dominate. Africans, and certainly the Haitians, have been known to say, Americans have watches, but Haitians have time. It's a different perception. As a matter of fact, I read the other day that people in the Philippines often have come out and said, you know, Americans wear their God on their wrist. Because as soon as they consult what is on their wrist, they're off and going. They look at it, it tells them where they need to be, and they are more obedient to what is on their wrist than to their values and to their principles. Is that who we've become? This morning and for the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about Jesus had the same problem, that people were more interested in the temporary than the eternal. If we don't get this right, the rest of the stories of the Bible just aren't going to make any sense. We've got to set and put God first in our lives. We're going to open up and we're going to find it from Matthew chapter 6, how Jesus wrestled with the same issue. And we're going to set a foundation for why this is critical. And I want to show, I'm hoping that by the end, you'll understand why you're here this morning and also why others are not. It's the choices that we make, okay? Would you open up? Well, it'll be on the screen. You don't have to open it up. It's your notes are in your bulletin. Let us join together what is on the screen. This is God's word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I know He has a purpose for my life. Reading from Matthew chapter 6. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by adding a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? Look at the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the fields, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father, we live in time, and sometimes our time seems so short. Help us, O God, to see from your perspective. who we are and what we can become. And in our time of worship, speak to us, challenge us, and lift us to a higher plane. In Jesus' name, amen. When it comes to the choices that we make and the choices that are going to influence you in the coming years, in the coming year, the coming months, we find psychologists have said that there are three basic forces that are going to determine how you choose and the things that you want out of life, the things that you desire and who you are and who you will become. The first one is very simple and probably not a big surprise. We all have a desire or a want to be comfortable. We want to be comfortable. Now, out of that, it means things like we want clean water, we want food, we want security, we want to be free from fear. We do whatever it takes in order to have more, better, best. Sometimes people will be going out on the weekends, trying to get a couple of hours of work done in order to have more of everything. We're so focused on the now that we lose the broader perspective. Jesus, even in his own time, 2,000 years ago, is saying, why are you so worried about your clothes? Why are you so worried about your possessions, what you're going to wear and what you're going to eat? Why are you so worried about your comfort in the here and now? You need to gain a broader perspective. Imagine that it was later in the summer and it's a beautiful sunny day and you have a choice to make. Well, I mean, you could come to church, you could deal with your emotional and your spiritual health, or you could go to the river, or you could go to a campground, or you could do whatever, you could go play golf or do whatever it is that you want to do. You have a choice. You have a basic want. I want comfort. I want what I want. I want happiness in the here and now. One of the drivers for your decision today is, on a day like today, you could have just pulled the covers up over your head, right around your head, and say, I want to stay nice and warm and snugly in my bed because it's nice and comfortable. That's what I want. That's a driving force in all of us. We all have that desire. The second basic desire for all of us is the desire to be appreciated, the want to be wanted, to be liked. We do things, we look a certain way, we dress a certain way, we drive a certain car, we have a certain house, kind of house, in order that other people around us might think well of us. How do people perceive us? And sometimes that can go horribly wrong. People do some awfully nasty things in order that people around them might think well of them in that group. Now think about it for those of you that have had children. And it's a normal Sunday morning and you have to make a decision. You say, well, we as a family, we're gonna get up and we're gonna go to church. If you're like anybody, and we've all been there, we've all done it, we say, I don't want to go to church this morning. I don't want to get out of bed. It's too early to get in the bed. It's too early to do that. And as a parent, you have to decide a couple of things. I'm tired of dealing with this. I don't want to have to deal with this child. We're not going to church. I just can't deal with it anymore. What factors are playing out here? Our desire for comfort. I don't want to have to deal with this anymore. It's easier for me to roll over and do nothing. That's comfortable. That's what I want. I want easy. Number two, I want to be liked. I don't like being the bad guy. I don't like us getting up. I don't like them being grumpy. I don't like that. Those two drivers present a monumental problem to most parents. I said that there were three drivers. Our desire for comfort, we want comfort. We want to be admired. We want to be liked. We also want meaning. We want some sense of transcendence, that our life means something, that we're going somewhere, that even if you acquire all of heaven and all of earth, what does it mean to you? Where is your life going? What is it all about? Is your life really significant to anybody? Are you making a difference in the world? Okay? Now here's where it plays out. I've often said to people in Sunday school classes that we as a society are becoming short-term thinkers. We think in sound bites. How many of you have cell phones? You all have cell phones. There used to come a time, for those of you that had a job, that your job could not get in touch with you at home. There was a clear delineation between home life and work life. But now, because of computers and cell phones, we're on the grid 24/7. You can get in touch with people all the time. Your business can call on you. You're always on. We think in short term, right? How many of you have, and again, this is rhetoric, you all have a remote control. If you're like me, and I do this too, when the TV is on and there's a commercial, I'm horrible about this. I'm looking for something else. I'm mute. That's a good one. I see, I don't even have the ability to go to mute because I'm too impatient. What else is on? Is there another game on? Is there something else I can watch? Why? Because I can't stand that dead time, right? Short term, we think in little itty bitty sound bites, okay? Now think about, as that becomes even more intense for our children, as that pressure and that short-term thinking becomes even more intense, look at these three basic wants. I want to be comfortable. Is that long-term thinking or short-term thinking? Short-term. I want it now. When do most kids want whatever it is they see on TV? Now. I want to be happy now. I want my security. I want my prosperity now. It is a very short-term thinking. When you get up on a Sunday morning and it's cold and it's rainy, trust me, comfort is talking about now. I want to be liked. I want people to appreciate me. I want people to value me. I don't want to have to deal with grumpy people. Is that long-term thinking or short-term thinking? Short-term. Grumpy people and even dealing with those relationships are, what do they think of me now? What are they thinking of me now? Right? So we have these two forces. Comfort and the desire to be liked are short term. What about meaning? Purpose? Long term. That's long term thinking. Now, as we as a society, as you and your children and your grandchildren become short-term thinkers, which of these are going to dominate their life? Comfort and the desire to be liked, to do what everybody else is doing. What are the forces that are shaping and forcing upon you? The desire to be liked and the desire for comfort. That will continue to dominate our lives. What Jesus is talking about in this passage from Matthew is he said, until you understand the meaning behind them, they will go whichever direction is popular at the time. They'll go from to fro. It'll be all over the place. And we get stressed out because we don't have a real purpose in our life. We just do what everybody else is doing. And every mother that has ever been here has probably said the same thing at one point or another. If Billy jumped off of the bridge, would you jump off the bridge with Billy too? If everybody else is doing it, are you going to do it? What mothers are trying to get across to is, who are you? What are you about? Until you know that, until you understand that, the rest of Jesus' stories just don't make any sense. I'm doing what everybody else is doing. That's all I ever wanted to do. These are going to be the three primary drivers in our lives. If we're going to talk about how do we put first things first, we have to understand, we have to think first long term. Who are we going to become? What kind of a family will we be? Otherwise, you'll just take every crisis as it comes. Now, the question, though, remains, we're all here gathered as Christians. We want to be spiritual, and yet we live completely differently. A lot of times, what we believe about God does not translate to how we live spiritually and emotionally. So why do you see being played out, and especially what Jesus is saying here, why do you see two sets of values? Why do we hold even two opposing sets of values in our lives? I want to kind of give you a couple of reasons that you'll find in your sermon notes, and I want you to think about whether you see any of these playing out in your life or in the people that are around you. The number one reason I think most people live two opposing sets of values, number one, because they're deceived. Because we're deceived. We do not see the difference or the discrepancy between what we say and what we believe and how we act. We look at ourselves and we're saying, we're doing what everybody else is doing. We somehow got this idea that if we conform to what everybody else in the culture is doing, that must be goodness. That as long as we're doing what everybody else has been doing, that God's got to be happy with that because God's going to somehow grade on a curve. We don't understand how these two values are in conflict. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He said, until you set the kingdom of God first, none of this will make sense to you. C.S. Lewis often said to the people around about this issue of being deceived, he said, or focusing on the kingdom of God, he said, if you shoot for heaven, if you focus on heaven, make heaven your primary, if you shoot for heaven, you'll get earth thrown in. But if you shoot for earth, if you make earth your priority, you will get neither. Until we can set something greater, some sense of meaning in our life, it will control or it will help us control both our desire for comfort and our desire to be liked. But until we can rein them in, we are going to live in a deceived kind of life. We don't see the difference. We don't see the contrast. We don't see the paradox being played out. Number one, we are deceived. Number two, we are distracted. Anybody who has a cell phone, anybody who has been playing games or learned how to text, or anybody that has the internet knows that we are a distracted culture, right? I mean, even people are now saying, I think it's a state law, correct me if I'm wrong, that you're not allowed to text while you're driving. Is that a state law? Okay. Why? Because you're driving down the highway, right? Think about it, it's kind of funny. You're driving down the highway, cars coming at you 70 miles an hour, but you're bored, right? Cars are coming at you, so you're gonna text and drive. All this stimulus is coming at you. Should I avoid this car? Is he gonna swerve to hit me? Should I turn? What should I do? I'm just driving down. Now, I'll go ahead and text as well, right? Because, and then we get distracted. I heard from a policeman the other day that what they said was if you had an accident and you were texting at the time, you know how they report that? Self-inflicted injuries. Self-inflicted injuries. Right? I mean, think about that. We are so distracted by what we have. Busyness, in my opinion, busyness, just doing stuff, busyness is the narcotic for emptiness. If I do more, if I'm really busy, if I'm on my phone all the time, if I'm on the internet, if I'm doing emails, if I'm sending stuff out all the time, if I'm busy, I must be important, right? I must be good because people need all of my stuff. We associate activities with purpose. Think about that generation that we often